Hello, everyone. This is Glenda, and I am so glad to be with you. I apologize for being a couple of minutes late. Didn't expect to run into a traffic jam on my way home, but I am home most of all when I'm with you. And it's so good to see all of you here and coming for the most special blessing of your week, the one from Christ, the Son of God. It doesn't get any better than that. So we are very, very happy to have Nancy here co-hosting with us. And Nancy, welcome.
Thank you. So happy to be here, everyone. It's a nice crisp day here in Austin, and we're really feeling the weather and feeling the holiday season. So pretty nice down here. So welcome, everybody.
Thank you. Well, we're feeling real crisp up here, too. I wouldn't say cold, but with the wind attached to it, it cuts right through the blue jeans. So we're getting a little taste of what's to come. Winter is almost around the corner, but we're still so happy to have these bright, sunny fall days. They are gorgeous. Well,
yeah.
Nancy, yes. We are happy to see you here and thriving and joyful despite your enormous challenge with your house. And I understand progressing beautifully.
Yeah, and you know, we're really blessed that we can, you know, stay at my daughter's house just 3 miles away. So it works out, you know. We get to spend some quality time with the kids and realize that you had kids when you were young for a reason.
That's right. Exactly. And it's just a blessing to your life any time in life.
It is. It's really great. They're just a lot of fun. So.
Yeah, and you've got a new crop coming on.
True. This is true. So happy for all of you out there who are getting a new crop yourself, because they're pretty magical, these little ones. And
They sure are.
Well, we have a lot of fun today.
Great. I am so happy about that. And we've already got a couple of people on the board. And I think one of them is Nancy. We'll get to you in just a minute, Nancy. I just wanted to say to our blessing givers who are here to assist in the offering today, you will receive an email today, if you haven't already opened it, announcing our graduate blessing seminar, a Zoom call seminar, on the 9th and 10th of December. And I apologize that I sent out, I was so excited to be offering it. I sent it out too soon. And we had a few problems come up, but we're fine. It's going to be great on December 9th and 10th. Can't wait to see your smiling faces. And we'll be able to do that now that that Mama G is learning about Zoom. But it's helpful. It's a new achievement for me, and I'm very happy that I'm able to do it. So, Nancy, I think we're going to let you take over and welcome some people to the board. And,
I love that.
Okay.
Yeah, well, welcome, everybody. Our first caller, hi. I believe this is Nancy, the 512 area code here in Austin. Hi, Nancy.
There's a friend of mine that would give nicknames to, like, if there were two Nancys, she would name one of us something else.
That works.
And she named another one Red. And she goes, oh, look, I love it. Anyway, so you can name me something else. I don't know what, but, you know, have fun. I was just sitting here going, you know, I just wanted to say thank you. For the last time that I taught, I asked for an eye doctor that would help me, and you sent me the most wonderful God sent me the most wonderful person to take care, get me the right lenses. Whether or not the lenses show up and my insurance pays for everything is another thing. But so I ask for blessings for all those people that take care of us. And all those people that, you know, and to help with the blockages of financial blockages, whether or not we have enough money to pay for the next year, all those things, and to hold our hands for the coming season, because, for some of us, it's not the best time in the world, but, you know, we put on a happy face and say happy Merry Christmas and happy holidays to all. And so happy holidays to all, and hold our hands as we get through the season and to next year.
So absolutely. I am so happy to hear about your blessing. And by the way, it wasn't me that did that.
Oh, I am. Well, yeah, it was
your brother,
a conduit.
It's your brother. I did that for you.
When I do massage, I know actually it's all the blessings and all the masters and all the angels that are around them and all the blessings around. And I get the one, I'm basically the one that gets paid. So, there.
Okay.
But I did, you know.
All right, my dear. Well, I'm
but
very,
my love
really
for the people
for
that I conduit for is definitely there.
And it's lovely to hear that smile in your voice. So, continue to be blessed. And just in response to one thing you said, regardless of how life looks to us right now, just remember, everything reverses. Everything. Mm-hmm. And it's going to reverse with or without the hand of God. But with the hand of God, it reverses where you want it to go in the best possible way. Nothing lasts forever. And so just pray gratitude. I would advise all of you, pray gratitude into whatever situation you have, because that will speed up the better times that are coming in front of us.
I heard on TV the other day, if you're going through hell, keep going.
Well,
I'm not going through that. I'm just kind of going. I think we're the only ones that anticipate, oh, this may be bad or this may be good. So may your anticipations be good, and may the coming season bring good things.
Absolutely. Okay, Nancy, thank you for the good work.
Bless you. Love you. Okay, Glenda, we have Stormy today. Welcome, Stormy. Hope you're doing well.
Yes, I am. Oh, Glenda, I found something that's forever.
What's that?
Eternity.
You're good, Stormy.
I was talking
on that level.
Yeah, I know, but I had to bring the title to your book, Energy, to the blessing there. I was able to give a blessing for my housekeeper a couple of days ago. One of her a fellow who wanted her to go live with him in a city a little bit too far away, a potential, you know, fiance. But he just up and died a couple of days ago, a heart attack, and I let her know that it was a peaceful death, and he's in a peaceful place, and he was Muslim. He never wore his hat here in this city, not this redneck city. You don't do that. But she went to a Muslim funeral at the local funeral parlor here in town. And she says, that was interesting. They had two people standing by the casket so nobody could come up and touch the casket. I says, well, they were protecting his spirit, weren't they? She says, yeah. But I let her know that I don't have a concept between seen and unseen. I wasn't born with a concept of seen and unseen. I tell people I knew you before you were born. I'll still know you after you're gone. And she really liked that concept, and just took it into her heart. We have good conversations. She likes to hear about my spiritual stuff. And that's actually part of her job as a housekeeper. If you're just there to listen to the person speak, that's the job description. So I just thought that was nice to share that blessing with her and uplift her spirit. That was just nice. Now that's a beautiful blessing that I have, that I don't have a concept between seen and unseen. I don't have a concept of it. I also wanted to bring the energy to the key word that I had for humanity this year, all of this year, and it's reliable. And I want to bring that message into this blessing call today about it would be really nice if we could all rely on each other in this world a little bit more. And I just want to bring that particular blessing into this year.
That's really good, Stormy, because, you know, Yeshua asked us to love one another, but from the viewpoint of a lot of people, love means something different to everybody. And from the viewpoint of a lot of people, it's just not appropriate to be expressed toward just anybody. But reliable is a form of love that we should give to everyone. We should keep our word. We should do our best and do even more than our best. My dad's favorite quote from the New Testament from Yeshua was, if a man asks you to walk a mile, walk the second mile with him. And that was his idea that you give in. It isn't charity if somebody asks you for it. It's only charity if it's given extra as an abundance from your own heart. And I think that fits a little bit also with what you're saying, because just being here for one another is that reliable factor. We see other people here that look like humans, and we assume they're going to behave like humans. If they do and go one step beyond, then that's all we need to live peacefully and abundantly together.
Yeah, and that's also to amplify what Nancy talked about, the blessing for the caregivers too, because those are the people that we rely upon.
Exactly. We do, indeed. And they come in all forms. They come in all forms, you know. We've got them in hospitals or assisted living. We also have them in daycare. We've got them in lawn care. We've got electricians that we trust the safety of our home with. So, one way or the other, we're all taking care of each other. And that's really what livelihood is, if you're honestly and genuinely doing it.
Yeah, and that's active faith, you know? It's active, not just the way of life, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Stormy, we're so glad you called.
I also had a message from Tony. That's why I called you on Thanksgiving Day. As a matter of fact, I put it into words and I sang it for about 10 minutes, a particular tune I have on the guitar. But it was how a part of him is in an elemental form, and he is in a star shining upon us, reminding us that we need to shine our light upon each other's, just like his light is shining upon all of us also. And I had much more to say and sing about it, but I just wanted to bring that into here also. And let's go on to the next one.
Mm-hmm. That sounds like something Tony would say.
Yeah, part of his soul is in the elemental form. Part of his soul is born to angel school. And another part of his soul is just resting.
Nice.
So he is doing it. So he's doing a trinity.
How sweet. That's good. Well, thanks for the report, Stormy.
Bye-bye.
We love you. We love you and give thanks for you being in our community.
And I do appreciate it.
Yes, I know.
Thank you, Stormy.
Bye-bye.
Have a wonderful rest of your week. We had Stephen in here in the call, but he disappeared. So, Stephen, if you want to jump back in, the lines are open, everyone.
I remember I saw that. Okay. Well,
today's the day. I guess we're here to gather to share a message.
I guess we are. And I think no matter where a person is living in the United States, with the exception of beautiful Hawaii or South Florida, we're all feeling a little touch of winter. And to me, it's just very invigorating. It's lovely. It's a change of season and a change of mood and a feeling of moving a little closer to Christmas, which we all love. So we're looking forward to our time together and just really, really enjoying our season of beauty. Okay, well, our queue is still open. If anyone wants to ask for a blessing, or we can... Okay, there. We have Tina on the call. Hello, Tina.
Tina, your line's open. Hi.
Howdy. Hi. Nice to be on the call. I'm in San Diego right now, so I didn't really feel much winter yet, but I had a dream last night. I dreamed of her first snow, and it was just wonderful. Really fresh snow.
Yeah, well, I know you love it, being from Germany. You love the snows and the beautiful frozen lakes.
I love the snow, yeah. And I love, yeah, so, but not this year. I guess I don't get to have it this year, but maybe I'm going to go somewhere and visit some place where there's a little more snow, so.
Well, how are you doing?
I got stranded here in Del Mar again. I had to sell my house in Ashland in a really hurry. We had financial issues that I did not know about, and so I had to sell it really quickly and just move here for now. And it went really well, but it was emotionally a little bit difficult because I didn't really have much time to adjust to the whole situation emotionally.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I go with the flow, and it feels right. It feels like I just try to really surrender to what's going on, you know. I feel like I'm on the right way, and it's good for me to be in Del Mar for a while and be close to her. And so, and there's so much work I have. I ask for a blessing with that, with the house, you know. Outside and inside, and I thought it probably takes a year to really take care of it, you know, well, and so this is what I'm focusing on, but I really want to ask for a blessing to, yeah, find the best way to be of, you know, and feel my unity. I've been really meditating and trying to adjust to the environment, to nature, and really be feel in unity with the nature, you know, and I love it when I can. Sometimes I talk to trees or, you know, I'm working on animal communication and it feels, that's when I feel really in unity. I feel like I hear and I can talk to all life, and this is really how I want to be and want to live. And so maybe I can also be of service by doing that. That's what I'm trying. I try people in healing sessions. You know, I do sessions, and then there's like soul parts coming back from them, and I help them with that, and children, things, and I hope that I get better with that, and that this will be really beneficial for the people I'm doing it.
Oh, well, we will bless the giving of your life to the very best possible result and end, that it comes back to you like bread on the water to fill you and lift you up to the highest possible state of being and heart and soul.
Yeah. And everything comes natural from that.
It does. It does. And it actually does, if you're talking about a circle, it doesn't matter where you start.
Mm-hmm.
Think of that. I mean, everybody really think about that, because we were talking about everything changes, everything reverses, everything moves in order of continuation. And if you're focusing upon a circle, it doesn't matter where you start, because the circle will roll and it will come right back to where you were. And it will take you around the entire circumference of the circle and all the possibilities in between. In many ways, our life is a circle. I'm noticing as I move on through the years how much my life is beginning to resemble more of my youth and less of my middle years. It's a fascinating thing to observe. We do, we do actually go in a circle. And I don't mean in a repetitive circle, because we're always also moving forward. But in terms of our engagement with life, there are a lot of flows that do repeat for us, and we get a chance to go through them once more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it makes kind of sense.
What?
You know, my connection is not very good also. Do you hear me?
No, it's not. There's a lot of breaks in your voice.
We got you.
Yeah, it's, you know, this also, the circle, this is so multidimensional, right? Like you said, you remember your youth, and, you know, me too. And it goes so far for me to see myself as a child in many different stages. And I literally meet, you know, when I go in meditation, sometimes I just close my eyes. I meet myself as a person and as a child, as a little child, sometimes baby, and I went into a church, I sit down, and then I have like 5 kids on my lap, you know? And it's somehow good, and I think it's maybe a multidimensional perception, but it's also very exhausting too, you know? Because I do things because of this child of mine wants to play, like, or watch a movie that an adult wouldn't really want to watch, and I do it because I say, okay, this is a part of me. So I'm literally meeting so many parts and so many things and so many other beings, you know? Every night, so many beings that are, some are human, some are yesterday I saw one was half building, you know. It's like my world's getting a bit crazy. And at some point I like, you know, to be able to see other dimensions, but at the other hand, I see a lot that I can almost not handle, you know. Or I actually
Okay.
I don't know what...
Well, Tina, I would like to make a presentation in relation to what you're saying, if that's okay.
Yeah, of course.
Okay, because we've had so many conversations. I do know what you're saying, and I probably have a better phone connection than you do. So I'll speak for you, if that's okay, and bring to light for the benefit of others some of the important things that you're saying. The fact is, we do live in a multi-dimension universe, a multi-dimensional world, and a multi-dimensional self. Every part of you, from your childhood till your passing and even beyond, is part of a grand stacked sandwich. And you could bite into the whole sandwich anytime you want to. But the question is it really going to do you any good to be facing all of this multidimensional stuff all the time when you really could be focusing upon yourself? And yourself is simple. And that's the point of what I want to say right here, is that when I was challenged and struggling to produce the original light that came to me and gave me the vision of Yeshua as the Lamb and the Lion, it was a daunting task. How do you paint light? There's really nothing simpler than light, and nothing more that is common to everything than light. It is the thread of continuity in the entire universe. And so as I was painting, I kept, I started out with a white board, which was kind of an obvious thing to do, but that didn't say anything. And so I added these sparkly pastel colors. It was kind of pretty, but it didn't say anything, and it didn't look like that light that came to me. And I kept adding more and more layers, like a abstract paint in multicolors, trying to represent all the colors that were in that light that came to me. Again, it looked like an abstract painting, didn't say anything. And I thought, well, okay, I'll try gold and silver and copper leaf, and it will just reflect the light from this board. And it looked like a metallic quilt. It didn't look like a painting, and it didn't look like the light that had come to me. I was very, very frustrated and about to abandon the project altogether when Yeshua came to me and said, would you like some help? And I said, oh, you better believe it. I can't do this by myself. And he said, you've actually done all the work yourself, but you can't get to the point of what you've done. I said, really? And he said, yeah. He said, you see that packing tape over on your daybed? Go get it and wrap sheets and sheets around your hand with a sticky side out. And I said, okay. And he said, now give me your hands. And I said, what are you going to do? You're going to pack my hands up to heaven where I can finally paint correctly? I made him laugh. And he said, no, just be quiet and give me your hands. So he took my hands and we padded, well, actually more than padded, we pressed hard into the board that was that painting over and over and over again. And when the tape was full, we would load my hands up again and pull off more and pull off more. And it was very, very interesting how we pulled
up paint from every layer of being, every layer that had been there, going all the way to the whiteboard and leaving a lot of the metallic overlay, some of the pastels, some of the colors and so forth. And when it was done, I stepped back and it was like, oh, my Lord. It was there all the time and I couldn't see it because I was looking at the complexity. The simplicity is the message. And that became a teaching that has guided me every day of my life since that time. And by the way, that painting was finished on the 23rd of November, 1997. It was finished that day. We've just passed the anniversary of it, the 34th anniversary of that painting. And it has guided my life ever since because I look and I see that the complexity reveals nothing. I'm wasting my time on adding more on top of complexity that's already too dense to see through. What I needed to do, which he showed me, was to start removing layers and layers of life that are no longer important, have no meaning at all. And I think we save a lot of layers of our lives thinking, kind of like the clothes we keep in our closet that were so great 20 years ago. We don't want to give them away because we looked wonderful in them and we had great times in them, but they're just sitting in our closet and we will never wear them again. And we think, well, maybe I'll find some meaning in that. Maybe it'll bring back memories I need to connect to. And it never does. It never does. The only thing that has meaning about you is what's here right now. And all the rest is just there because you don't let go. But it's not that easy, my friends. It's not. And I'm going to tell you one of the reasons it's not easy. And it's not your fault, except that you've never been initiated into this understanding. You are a magnetic being. I mean, you are one of the most powerful magnets on this earth. And you pull things into you, and it's hard to pull it off. Let's just say that you were walking around anywhere. But you walk in, let's say you walk into a hardware store and you've got this horseshoe type magnet in your hand and you're holding it on one end and you accidentally put that magnet on a sheet of iron. Well, you're going to have to let go of it because you're not going to be able to pull it off. You can't pull it off. The pull of the magnet is too strong. This is what happens to us with events after event after event in our life, and circumstance after circumstance. We think, well, there must be some reason it's hanging on. No, well, there is one reason it's hanging on, and that's that you're a powerful magnet. Now, there was a very popular trend a number of years ago about the power of attraction. And I was kind of amused by that, but not particularly interested in it, because I already knew that I was attracting more things than I wanted. You don't have to increase your power of attraction. What you need to do is refine your power of attraction so that you're attracting what you want. But it's awfully hard to attract what you want. Let's just say, you are this iron plate on this iron board on the wall, and it's already completely covered with things it's attracted. There's no room to attract anything else. You have to let go. You have, and how are you going to do that? You can't step outside yourself and pull those things off. This is actually one of the shocks that our loved ones have when we pass, is because the magnet goes silent. It goes silent. And a lot of people were attached to us, or things attached to us, because of that magnetic force. And we think, sometimes we think it's love. This is one of the saddest complications in many relationships, is that it's magnetic force that's holding people together, and they think it's love. There, now, it could be love, and you could do a lot to cultivate love and make it love, but we think, well, as long as the magnetic, we don't even think in terms of that magnetic force, okay? But it is, and so we don't work on the love. Love will actually transfer magnetism into production. It will unhitch the magnet and turn that power into living light and living production, if we would only just be the love that we are, and from inside our being, take all of those magnetic attractions and turn them into love. I think this is why my father really loved that quote from Yeshua. If a man asks you to walk a mile with him, he's asking you to let him magnetize himself onto you. But if you, of your own volition and your love, say, and I'll walk too with you, you have disconnected the magnet, but also served the person and helped the person in a much better way than he could have asked for. If you've ever noticed that you back away sometimes from people asking you for help, you're afraid of the magnet. That's what you're afraid of. Because if I help this person, they're going to want more. And then they're going to want more. Being frightened of the magnet. You are a magnet. Now, I have many friends who wear pacemakers, and I can tell you, they cannot have an MRI. The power of it could literally stop their heart. They're advised not even to have a cell phone more than arm's length from their heart because of the magnet. This is scientific. I'm not telling you something that is mystical. It is esoteric in a way, because people don't talk about it. We should. You're not lacking in the power to attract. You are lacking in the ability to refine your attraction into the direction you needed to go, and to convert this powerful attraction into love, which then will save your life and truly help others, because then your connections are blessed. One of the central protocols that we have in our Master Blessing Course is actually unplugging the magnet. And there are directions of the planet we address and give thanks to because of the magnetism. It releases it. We want to be able to go into the blessing as blessing givers with our magnets turned off, so that it's not us giving the blessing. And it's quite a skill to develop that ability, but once we have it, our life is transformed. And it is transformed. And then we begin to attract the things we truly want, that truly bless our life. And we have talked many times about why we are reluctant to receive, why we have defenses against receiving. Well, my friends, this is probably the primary reason we have defenses against it, because we don't want to receive something that isn't the best for us, that isn't right for us. And we have, We have also, in some cases, formed addictions that have become almost an irreversible magnetic adhesion in our life. And just as soon as we think we've detached it, something will happen and pull that magnet right into a powerful connection again. This is what people who have recovering alcoholics or smokers or drug addictions, this is what they deal with, because they can get over it through therapy and love and self-control. But if they get closely into that magnetic field, it zaps them again. And in ways they can't even understand, they start drinking. And then they drink and drink all night and can't stop and don't even know why. This has been discussed so many times in the books that have been written by recovering alcoholics. Well, it's that magnetic field. You already are a magnet, my friends. And what is the solution? Love. You'd think it would be just adding to the problem. No. Love actually replaces the magnet. And you were created as love in the image of God. And as love, you can attract that which is good for you, that which is good for others, and relationships that are benevolent and beneficial, constructive. And I think that's what you want. So so getting back to Tina, I know that you have such a compassionate soul and so much curiosity spiritually that you are literally fascinated with the many different dimensions of your life and of nature. And commend you on your awareness. I think it's a lovely awareness, but I also know that it has caused you great pain. And I wanted to expose where that pain is coming from. You need to simplify. At times when you can get into a high state of meditation or prayer or joy, just simple joy or love, just throw some things away. Get things out of your life. And actually, this comment is for everybody. There's hardly any prayer more powerful than a prayer of forgiveness. Because what forgiveness does is it turns off the magnet. When you forgive anyone, or you ask forgiveness of God, you turn off the magnet at that moment. That's exactly the mechanics in terms of energetic dynamics. That's the mechanics of forgiveness, is you turn off the magnet. Let's just say somebody hurt you a long time ago, and you say, well, I just forgive them. I understand they were going through stress, hardship, and we probably didn't have the best of understanding between us, and I just let it go. Okay. But did you? When you really let them go, the magnet turns off, and you never think about them again. You don't have to even think, I forgive you. Because they're gone. And it brings them peace, it brings you peace. Managing the magnet could be the title of a very lengthy and powerful book that possibly could change the world. I give that to anyone that wants to pursue it, because I'm not sure in my lifetime I will have the time and the resources to do that. That it could be a very, very powerful book that could help millions of people. Here's the title, Managing the Magnet. If you don't want to write the book, then journal your life and put Managing the Magnet on the title of your journey.
That's great, Glenda. Yeah.
Good.
Are you there, Sarah? I'm gonna open your. Not there.
Okay.
Tina, let me see. So Tina,
I'm here.
Oh, Tina, can you hear us?
Yes.
Okay, because your line was shut there for a second. Did that help? That sure helped me.
Oh my God, that sure helps. Yeah, absolutely. I got to go back to this and listen to this again. And it makes a lot of sense. Yeah.
Okay, great. Well, it would for anybody. And I'm sorry if you felt in any way targeted, because you are one of the loveliest, most spiritual people I know. But sometimes even being spiritual can build the layers up too much.
It really does. I know I've already taken so much time. I just want just to add, the next question would have been, if I find some resources for that, is like the magnet of my ancestors, you know, when I'm carrying the DNA. What the most I'm actually busy with is my ancestral stuff. So that magnet, you know, just that connection. But that's like you said, it would be amazing, a book, you know. Yeah. I'm sure it would come to me. That's so great. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. We love you.
We sure do. Hi, Stephen, you're back.
Yeah, thank you. Wendy called, and I guess I hung up. Not sure how the phone works. I wanted to ask a blessing, because Wendy's brother-in-law has pancreatic cancer, and he has 3 months, so it's really impacted his wife, Wendy's sister, and Wendy. She's really distressed, so I'm asking for a blessing.
Oh, yes. Oh, well, we ask that healing should occur and will occur in whatever way, on whatever level is most appropriate for his soul. Because whenever we have messages of this nature, it's time to turn it over to the soul. Because only the soul knows how to appropriately navigate those 3 months. And it isn't necessarily going to come true the way they predicted it. I think I've mentioned this a number of times. My sister, at the age of 65, did not know she had 4th-stage lymphoma until a serious symptom occurred. Went to the doctor, and he gave her 2 weeks to live. She lived she lived to be 84. She was 65 then, so she lived almost another 30 years. So, the faith is in the hands of God. But the soul has to make decisions about how it wants. These are decisions the soul has to make. The body doesn't have much. The best thing the body can do is surrender and get life in order and be loving to everyone that's important, so that whatever needs to happen can happen. But here is the point where we need to engage with the soul. And without knowing that she was doing that, my sister did that exactly. She started making peace with everyone that she had ever had an upset with. She connected with them on the soul level. And she said that through what she did, she felt more love than she had ever known in her life. And much of it came from people that she had had unhappy endings with, shall we say, during the course of life. And life just kept getting better and better for her. So sometimes announcements like this are just wake-up calls, and it's time to put the soul in charge. But in the blessing we offer, that's exactly what happens, because this blessing first goes to the soul, and then it percolates into the various layers of personal reality, all the way down to the physical. So this is why other people are often blessed by your blessing, because your blessing will come in at the soul level and then percolate out to the many dimensions of your life, which go often way beyond your physical body.
Stephen, can we ask his name?
Kevin.
Kevin, okay, thank you.
Kevin, okay. We'll remember Kevin. Is he in pain right now?
He's apparently he's really thin, and they misdiagnosed him a couple of months ago as having Crohn's or something, I forget. I wrote him an email a month ago, and he replied to me, like, really personally, and, you know, it was a very nice email. So I don't really know, because the sister, if I email her, she doesn't usually respond, so it's hard to... Wendy was on the phone for about an hour crying, so...
I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry for your whole family and for him, and I pray that he will be spared the pain that often goes along with pancreatic cancer.
Idiot.
It's one of the worst.
Okay.
Thank you.
I appreciate your blessing. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
And please give Wendy my best wishes.
I will.
And my best wishes. Okay.
I'll tell her. Thanks. Bye.
Bye. Bye-bye. Thank you for calling. And yes, we have Sarah. Hi, Sarah. Happy Sunday.
Aloha. Thank you. Happy Sunday. Aloha, beloved community. I want to offer my love and gratitude for this community. And I want to ask for a special blessing for my friend Andy and his healing. And then ongoing blessings for my dad, Peter, and my brother, Tristan. And then I want to ask this blessing from my heart and for all who can relate to this, my brothers and sisters. I'm realizing now, you know, it's almost coming up to 2 years since we lost our mom in the physical. And, you know, just like I can reflect on the way it's changed my whole family. And so, like, I just keep, you know, it's an ongoing mourning process. So I just ask for blessings for my family and how the mobile of the family is shifting, and for others who can relate to that, my brothers and sisters. And finally, I want to ask a prayer for all of us. Well, also for my own heart, it's like, I know that negativity bias of my brain, part of our survival. And I just want to keep rising above that and just being more and more appreciative of this life that God has gifted me, and less caught in the negative perceptions, and just offering all that up and celebrating life as a gift that it is from you, God.
Beautiful.
That's a great request, and for all of us. We could all benefit by that blessing, Sarah.
Yeah.
And, you know, changes come in life, and sometimes they are irreversible, but they're not the end of a cycle. They're just a reversal of a reality. You know, there are two things that we confuse with truth. One is facts. Well, facts are what they are, but they could be different tomorrow. You know, we look at the weather report and we see the way it is now, but it's going to be different tomorrow. So facts are just accurate reports of changing events. Okay? Then there's reality. Now, reality is often confused for the truth. We say, well, that's just reality. how many different viewpoints are there on that particular reality? And how do we deal with it, process it, accept it, reject it? Well, you know where I'm going on that. Okay. And that is that reality is very malleable, and it too can move in different directions or dissolve and reformulate and look a little different down the road. Our life is a sequence of reality changes, but truth is something that doesn't change. Your soul is true. God is true. And in the physical, how many of us ever argue with gravity? Okay. How many of us ever argue with electricity? Okay. And, you know, gravity is in our life in so many ways. And a simple thing back in the old days, like when the Parthenon was being built, you know how they got the pillars straight? Is they would hang a rock on a string, and the rock would fall exactly in the straight line to the earth, so that what they built was going to be supported by the force of gravity. That was the straight line. So not only do we not argue with gravity, we use gravity. It's a function of existence. Momentum, inertia, these are other physical properties of existence. Okay. Love, when it's true, it doesn't change. It doesn't change. And most of the time, except under extraordinary, exceptional conditions, I think we can say a mother's love is true. And sometimes she actually has to nearly go through hell suffering for her kids. But her love never changes. Never changes. And that is true love. God's love never changes. Ever, ever. And I think once you really get the idea of what truth is, and you make a list of truth to yourself, you'll find that there's a lot of it, but it's not everything you thought it was. You know, it's not the traffic light. That's just a fact. Okay, it was green a minute ago. Now it's red. Better stop. You know?
Yeah.
And then, you know, reality. Like, I remember the time when you were in Hawaii. Oh, how different things were then for you.
Yeah.
But it was the same you. You. I mean, I have, you know, here I am, thousands of miles away. Either way I go in knowing you, and it's always you. And it's always me. That's truth. Okay, truth endures. Truth is the enduring property that when you know it, you don't have to ever worry about it being different. And if we would just learn to pursue truth and be more flexible with reality and, just be, all you have to do with facts is be accountable with them. You know, don't fall through twisting. Don't say black is white or white is black. You know, just don't fall through court. That's all you have to do. It's no big deal. A fact is a fact, but it's going to change.
Right.
You know? And thank goodness reality changed, because they can get pretty boring after a while. Or stressful, you know.
Yep.
And that's why movies have become so popular, because people want to change the reality, if only for 2 hours.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yep.
That's it. I mean, people just want a reality change. That shows you how malleable reality really is. Not something to argue over, you know, really.
And it's okay if people have different realities. Mm-hmm. Why not? What if we mm-hmm. all have the same reality? Oh, Lord.
Right. Corinne.
Yeah, I think I would go live with the dolphins if I could. Anything to get out of unireality. So, one of the things that I think we need to challenge ourselves, and this goes for all of us, is this extreme force to agree on everything. And then on the things we don't agree on, to have so little tolerance. Disagreement becomes a fight or a war. Why can't we just have different realities? How boring it would be to only have one reality. How incredibly boring. Mm-hmm. And actually, if we would just accept more realities, we could start finding the connective thread between us, which is not has nothing to do with love. It has to do with truth.
Mm.
Agreement is a poor substitute for truth, my friend. If you look for truth, you don't need agreement. Because people don't argue with the truth.
Yeah.
And truth actually honors a lot of variable realities. Well, Sarah, I hope I didn't. I hope I didn't carry it too far.
No, it was perfect.
It was just fun building on your comments. But we do hold your family, Patrick and Tristan, and all of you. We hold you in our hearts, and we'll put them on the wings of angels in our blessing.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. It was beautiful.
For the greatest good for their life.
Yeah.
And yes,
amen.
I know exactly what you're going through, having lost your mother. It's like a vacuum cleaner came in and took a whole bunch of stuff out of your life.
Mm-hmm.
And now you can't put the pieces back together.
Mm-hmm.
Well, see, what we try to do, and I guess this is what calls my big extravagant extrapolation, what we try to do when we've lost some pieces in our reality is we keep trying to put it back the way it was. But what we really should do is create a new reality out of what's left.
Mm. Yeah. That's really appropriate for my sister. So I'd like to add her to the blessing too, Glenda. You're helping me realize that, Sarah. Thank you for thinking of your family this way, because that's just perfect for them to create a new reality. I just want to add a blessing for my whole family, and Yeshua knows what everybody needs. So thank you, Sarah, for reminding us about our sweet families that all need our attention and our love.
Oh, you're welcome.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well, so many blessings for you, Sarah, and I hope you're staying well and finding happiness inside of everything going on.
Yes. Thank you.
Okay. Good. Well, Nancy? Okay. How is our board looking?
We are clear. If there's anyone, any last community member that has something to share or be thankful for or ask for a blessing, you've got a few minutes here. Otherwise, we're going to just proceed and get into our blessing.
Great. Well,
I can get us moving in that direction, and if somebody wants to come on the board, that's okay too. Let's start doing our breathing and our stretches. Mm. Let's start with a deep, very deep, clear breath. Fill your lungs to complete capacity. Hold it. Hold it. And now exhale slowly but completely. And feel the internal massage that's going on as you do that. Now, once more, completely and fully inhale. Oh yeah, hold it. Feel your shoulders stretch. Don't just blow it off, okay? No pun intended. inhale deeply. Let's start all over again. Feel your shoulders stretch. Feel your hips being pushed on by the pressure of your diaphragm, the expansion of your chest and your tummy, okay? And now move your arms into that breath just a little bit. Now push it out and feel your body contract to push it out more, push it out more, and then relax and let it go. This is a really, really powerful internal massage that you can do anytime. And it actually helps relax you or wake you up, whatever you need, because it enhances your oxygen level and therefore your awareness. Okay, I am going to put us in, I'm going to mute all. Okay, now let's just continue. I want you to stand if you can. If you can't, be seated and do as much of this as you can for a seated position. Okay, I want you to lift your leg one at a time and pull your toes forward so that you stretch the back of your leg. All right? All right, and then lift your leg up a little more and then down. All right, just standing. What I mean is move your leg out and forward with your toes up so you're stretching the back of your leg. Okay, move it back and forth. Now make a little windmill out of it, moving from inner to outer, inner to outer. Make a circle with your leg, stretch like that. Okay, and then with the other, make a little windmill because this is going to stretch. Carry that stretch into your pelvic area. And now that you've done that, I want you to bend forward, okay, so that you can further stretch the pelvic region, all right, as much as you can. And then lean back or tilt back as much as you can safely without losing your balance. We just want to move that stretching around. Now turn to the right, pivoting on your hip. Turn to the left, pivoting on your hip. Now turn your shoulders to the right. Shoulders to the left. Lift your arm to the front and pull that shoulder out as far as you can stretch it. Okay. With the other arm, pull your shoulder out as far as you can stretch it. Extend your arm out to the right and make a windmill with it. Okay? Take your left arm out to the left and make a windmill out of it. Doesn't really matter which direction you go. Alright. And now take both of your arms out with your elbows coming back to your chest. Okay, so you're making little wings, and you're going to flap those wings up and down, so that you're going to release tension in your, across the top of your shoulders, that place where you hold so much tension. Hold your arms up and turn your neck to the right. And hold it.
Now turn your neck to the left and hold it. Okay. Keep your arms, your elbows up, and I want you to turn your whole chest to the right. And now your whole chest to the left. All right. Now relax. Relax your arms. Okay. Bend your head forward, like in prayer, so that you stretch your back. What you're trying to do here is just, you move your hands forward to your knees. Tilt your head as far over your chest as you can and stretch your back. Okay. And now, move your head back as far as you can, and along with your arms back as far as you can, to stretch your torso in front. Now, okay, we're going to take another deep breath, and I want you to feel all the organs of your body deeply massaged, just as full as you can take it in with air. Hold it. Now, release it slowly. And again. Hold it. And release it slowly. Now, oxygen can travel to all parts of your body more easily. And your lymphatic fluid and your blood is going to flow more easily to every part of your body. You've opened up your body to where any form of energy can flow more easily. So that's as simple as it was. And you can do this anytime by yourself. And we're going to expand our little technique one step further to our four square breath, which is just a normal breath, except that you're going to be mindful of the breath as a breath of life. We're going to start with exhale to the count of four. Just a normal breath as you're exhaling to the count of four. Now you're going to hold it to the count of four. Now you're going to inhale to the count of four. And hold it, or receive it, to the count of four. Good. Now you're ready to give again. Give a breath into the world to the count of four. Hold it, to the count of four. Take a new breath in, to the count of four. Receive it to the count of four. The four square breath is the breath of life. This is how you live, how you survive, how you get on with others and all forms of life. You give, you allow receiving according to the needs of those who receive. Because if you know this, you can't tell who or what will receive your breath when you get it. It might be a friend. It might be a friend. It might just go through your mouth like a wax of wind. Or that's just a funny angel. We don't know that. So we give a moment for that breath to be received. And as it's received, if we choose to take a new breath, not the same breath we breathed out, but a new breath of life. And it's free. You didn't have to do anything for it. It's free. Like your first breath on your birthday. Your first breath ever. You just breathed. And life happened. Okay. Then you have to give yourself a chance to take it in. Enjoy it. And it's with what's left over.
You're going to get back in the world.
And this is the bread of life. I would encourage you just to continue to walk square bread while I offer my prayers and yesterday. Then the blessing givers will join me. And at that point, you begin your prayer to him. Let him hear again from your heart to his the needs of your life, the requirements for living, and the love of your soul. Okay? If that's as simple as it is, only thing you have to do is breathe for a couple of minutes and then pray. And then we'll tell you what to do next. Okay? Yes, you are. Lord of life, perfect brother to us all, the one who came to give new life to the world, the one who came to rejoin us to our Heavenly Father and destroy our state of separation. All we have to do is simply accept and breathe into it. All that we need, all that we require, all that we would give to others beyond our own abundance. And so we pray for them to you. We ask that you be with us now in our midst. Touch us and let us feel your presence as we pray from our heart to you, on behalf of those we love, on behalf of a world that needs you so deeply, truly. We pray for the children. We pray for the hungry. We pray for those who have lost so much in the traumas and the tragedies of life. And we pray for peace on earth. Most of all, we pray in your blessed name, knowing that our prayers will be heard by the one who created it all. Amen. Amen. And forever, amen. Blessing givers, will you join me now? And we shall be together. And our congregation, just begin your prayers. Let us begin.
Amen. Amen. And amen. Your blessing has been given. Now, it's for you to finish receiving. And the best way to do that is just to lie down. And I mean, really lie down flat, as in your bed, stretched out on a sofa, on a yoga pad on the floor. Really just stretch out. Surrender your body completely to any form of action or stress so that it can be a whiteboard upon which the hand of God can place your blessings. And you will discover them, not all at one time. You may discover some of them within minutes or hours, or it might be a week or weeks, as they reveal themselves in your life. Sometimes the effects of life have to shape up and also be ready to receive these blessings. But they are there. They've been given, and they're yours. I wish you a happy rest of the day and a very blessed week. Look forward to being with you again next Sunday. Bye-bye for now.